The verses we'll be considering this morning come from Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. And for context, let us begin at the beginning of the chapter, reading through verse 7. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We have just concluded a consideration of a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Messiah means chosen one. It is also the Hebrew word that is translated the Christ. This prophecy came in the 8th century, that is 700 to 800 years before the coming of Jesus. And it set forth the determination of God to save the world by this one who would be the great prophet and the king of the nations, who would restore order and truth in a world of brokenness and falsehood. And this grace would not only be given to the ethnic sons and daughters of Abraham, for up until the coming of Christ, God's grace was limited to the Hebrew nation. But no, when God would glorify this one, this chosen one, he would cause the very heathen nations to run to him by his effectual call. Jesus would speak the word just as he spoke into the grave of his friend Lazarus, who for 4 days was rotting in the grave, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And boys and girls, he didn't stay. And that's what happens whenever Jesus Christ speaks a word of power into a soul that is dead. All of a sudden, there is an awakening, there is an arousing, and there is an excitement, and there is a running unto Jesus Christ and back to God. Well, now, the Lord once again turns through his prophet to how he began in the beginning of this chapter. That was through a call, through an invitation, through a summons. The gospel is both an objective reality and a subjective responsibility. A reality and a responsibility. The reality is that God has made a provision for mankind in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The gospel responsibility, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So now we turn back to the responsibility. This is the gospel. What will you do with it? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is calling, indeed, his Son, the Christ, the one of whom he has said, "Behold, I have set him and given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." Even he is calling, and those whom he calls will leave all and follow him. Let us consider this call for the sinner to respond. Respond to the gospel and to run to God in Christ. 3 points. First, seize the opportunity. Second, repent in earnest. Third, bank on the promise. Seize the opportunity, repent in earnest, and bank on the promise. O sinner, respond. And run. Run back home. First, God, through the prophet, is calling not only the Jewish nations, the Jewish peoples, but also the nations to respond to God's grace in the gospel. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Sinners must recognize their blessed opportunity under the gospel call and lay hold of it. They must recognize their blessed opportunity under the gospel call and seize the opportunity. The call is to be in earnest, passionately seeking after God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Do not allow yourself to be distracted. There's so many things that people pursue in this world. And many of them are legitimate to a certain degree. Perhaps you are pursuing education. You're getting ready for finals, or perhaps you've already had them. Maybe you have other plans. You're pursuing a certain job or a career. Well, that's all fine and good, provided that that's not the only thing, and that's not the ultimate thing that you are pursuing. You should be seeking ultimately after God. And yet, how many things in this world draw away men and women because they idolize things? They put so much effort. Humanity has always sought precious metals. There is a mine, as I'm given to understand, in South Africa called the Tautona Mine, a gold mine, 2.4 miles deep into the earth. How'd you like to be lowered down in that cage? Rather dangerous thing. There are casualties. But it's all for what? It's all for just a fancy rock. That's all that gold is. Now, that's not to say that there's no importance in gold, or that we can't the purchased gold. But the point is that human beings, they fasten upon certain things, and that's everything for them. But we must seek the Lord, primarily and ultimately. He is the great end of our being. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. But we must seize the opportunity in seeking God because we are sinners. And God is angry with sinners. We are violators of God's holy law. God has drawn the line in the sand and we have crossed it, each and every one of us. And not only those great, grievous sins, the things that we so despise within society, that we lock up men for practicing these things. Oh, any sin, any failure to keep the law of God in its perfection is, as John Murray says, the contradiction of God. Complaining. Murmuring. Gossiping. Unholy anger. Lust. No one knows what's going on between your two ears, but you do, and God does. If we do not repair things with God, then we must answer to God. Dear friend, do you understand that? God will not automatically forgive your sins because maybe you've done a few other good things to kind of counterbalance. No, no. If you do not repair things with God, you must suffer God's vengeance. And if you want to know what God thinks of sin, then go to the cross and see his only begotten Son hanging between two thieves, bleeding and dying. That's what God thinks of sin. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And so we must then seek God out and make matters right. If you've offended somebody who's very powerful, you really have two options. Run away or run to. And if he's really powerful, you only have one option. Run to and grovel. Well, there's no hiding from God. If you should mount with wings up into the heavens, from there will God snatch you down. If you shall dig deep into the bowels of the earth, from there God will find you, having searched and laid hold of you. This is the teaching of Scripture. This is what God is saying to us. And God is saying to you, you need to seek out God and get right with God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You can't just hope that everything's going to be well. You must, as Esther, brave the danger of going to the king. We must be attentive, especially to God's gracious visitations, and lay hold on them. You remember what Esther did in order to make sure that the king would be favorable to her request? She did more than just dressing up, ladies. She prepared a feast. And after she prepared a feast and his heart was merry, he said, all right, now I'm going to ask a second time. What is it, Esther, that you want? And I'll give it to you, even up to the half of my kingdom. Come to a second feast tomorrow. You see, if you're going to get something that's very important, you've got to catch the person at a time when their heart is ready. Well, God, he comes at certain times, and he is favorable, and he is revealing himself as gracious, and this is such a time. He is coming not with a frown, he is coming, as it were, with a smile and with open arms. There are other visitations, fearful visitations. God will visit sinners in wrath. There will be a time when there will be no more grace. Time will run out. Don't think that you can repent tomorrow. Don't think, I always have tomorrow to make things right with God. I'm just going to practice this sin again today because I love it so much. And tomorrow I'll be sorry and I'll make up with God. Or I'm going to start praying tomorrow. Start reading my Bible tomorrow. Stop looking at impure images tomorrow. Martin Luther said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. When he comes near graciously, not to judge, but to save. Remember, when Jesus Christ came into this world, he did not come to judge the world. But he will do that one day. And so when God comes in the preaching of the gospel, when he sets forth the reality of the gospel and presses the responsibility of the gospel, you must respond to this blessed opportunity now. Today is the day of salvation. Because you see, God will not always be found by sinners, but will often remove himself from them. Why? Well, because he is God, and God is absolutely free. You remember the chariot in Ezekiel chapter 1, that strange image with the living creatures and the wheel within a wheel, and it moved wherever it would, showing that God is absolutely free. He is not bound. He moves to the left, to the right, front, back, up, down, as he pleases. God is absolutely free. John 12, 35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. A little while, the light is with you. Did Jesus have to come into this world? No. Did he have to die on Calvary's cross? No. With a wave of his hand, he could have sent all of humanity into the pit of hell. But he came freely. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, while it pleases him to disclose himself. Call ye upon him while he is near. Oh, dear friends, he is near. Though he is not near physically as he was in the days of Jesus Christ, he is near spiritually by his word, by the preaching of the gospel. He is near. He is drawing close. He is reasoning with sinners. He is calling you and me to respond to the gospel. God will not always be found by sinners, but will often remove himself from them because of their neglect. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Those are the words then John Newton's mother had him memorize and rang in his ears when he was on that slave ship on the high seas in the middle of a storm and was sure that he would die. Because I have called and ye refused. Jesus Christ came to the brow of a hill overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over it. Why did he cry, children? If you had known, even you, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. If you had only known the time of thy visitation. But now it's too late. Too late. You see, God's so very patient. He's so very gracious. He gives us so many opportunities to seek him. And a special privilege is given to certain people who come under the preaching of the gospel. You are privileged this morning. Because there are many people who are not hearing these words. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. But if you don't respond, you will miss the greatest opportunity. We shouldn't think that God will always be around. But there is a window of opportunity, perhaps even a narrow window of opportunity. You've probably seen by video the launching of these space shuttles on these great rockets. And there's an awful lot of engineering that goes into the launching of that rocket. An awful lot of math and calculations. But something that is unseen as a part of that launch is the launch window. That is the timing of that launch and all other kinds of circumstances. Because you see, it's not launching from a stationary place, is it? It may seem like that because we're parked right on the ground, we're looking at it, it's stationed on the earth. But the earth is constantly moving. And so it's been said that launching these rockets is like trying to jump off a merry-go-round through a narrow door. And getting through it. Well, there is a window that is presented to you, but it is narrow. That's what Jesus said. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads unto life. Now, this is a broad and an open invitation. But in a certain sense, this is a very precious opportunity. Blink, and it may be gone. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We must believingly pursue God, calling upon his name. Seize the opportunity. Second, repent in earnest. Repent in earnest. Sinners must recognize their blessed opportunity under the gospel call, and they must seize it. They must also make good on this opportunity with serious repentance. Serious repentance. Conversion consists of two parts: faith and repentance. Faith is simply believing and trusting what God has provided in the gospel. Repentance is that deep hatred for the sin that we have committed and a determination to abandon it and to follow the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. This running that we've spoken about, the nations that will run to Jesus Christ, that's a running back, running home. We must reject that which we prize. In the first case, we must acknowledge our own lawlessness. The prodigal son there, feeding the pigs, mud and excrement all over his face and body, no doubt. And as he looks down at that food, that nasty food he's feeding to the pigs, he says, "How many servants of my father's have food enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Jesus says that he came to himself. He has an acknowledgement. He has a realization as to what he has done. Up till that time, he had no sense. You see, he had hardened himself. And boys and girls, that's a great danger of sin. Like the calluses on your hand, you can lose your sensitivity to sin by practicing sin. At one point in time, in New England, there were no shops open on Sundays. And everyone went to church every single Sunday. That's because there was a sensitivity to the sin of breaking the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But ever so gradually, as one becomes indifferent and careless, there becomes an insensitivity to sin. Well, you see, that prodigal son had developed calluses on his heart to sin. And maybe that's the way it is with you, my friends. You've developed calluses on your heart to sin. Or maybe to certain sins. Well, the first part of repentance is acknowledgement, a recognition. I've sinned against God. I'm not right with God. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's me. He's talking about me. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Guilty is charged. I am the man. We must own our own lawless thinking and lawless doing. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now that comprehends a world of evil. There's some really bad ways. This nation is in a bad way. Things that were shocking to our parents and grandparents, they're nothing today. How many of us, and I include myself, fail to blush at the magazine covers that one sees in the stores? But it's just so common. This is the way things are nowadays. But it's not only notorious, scandalous ways of sin that the wicked must forsake. It's any of his own way. If it's my way, it's the wrong way. So you see, maybe you're not as bad as others. You're not walking on the highway of open and flagrant transgression and sin. But you're walking on your way and not God's way. You see? Maybe you're walking on the way of self-righteousness. You pride yourself that you're such a nice person, that you're so very decent, and you despise other like the scribes and Pharisees who folded their arms and looked at Jesus and said, "Who is this that eats and drinks with sinners?" Is that your way, my friend? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. God says, that's the problem. It's not my way. It's your way. And if you're going to seek me and be in good earnest, you must own your lawless deeds. You must forsake your way. Not only acknowledge the lawless doing and lawless thinking, but reject and refuse all of it once and for all, to forsake it, to say, I'm done with it. I'm casting it away. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. Let him return unto the Lord. Repentance is not only a turning away from, but a turning towards. It's not just stopping doing the bad things. It's starting doing the good. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. The unclean man leaves behind all of his uncleanness and says, I will dedicate myself to my wife as a one woman man till I die. We must resolve to run in the way of new obedience and carry out that resolve. Or we cannot be saved. And it is that simple. Conversion to the Lord is the only way of being saved from his wrath and curse in this life and in that which is to come. And it cannot simply be faith. it must also be repentance. Now, we believe, as the confession puts it, that repentance is not to be rested in, is any satisfaction for sin or any cause of pardon, which is the act of God's free grace in Christ, yet it is of such necessity to all sinners that none may expect pardon without it. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You must, my friend, repent. Old people, you must repent. Young people, you must repent. Bad people, you must repent. And decent people, you must repent. If you are a sinner, if you have not done as you should, and if you have done things you should not have done, if you're walking in your own way and indulging your own thoughts, not submitting every single thought that you have to the teaching of Jesus in the Bible. And when I find a thought that doesn't fit, I'm going to say, no one else saw that, Lord, but you saw it. And I grieve over that thought. And I bring it to you. And I beg you to be merciful to me by your Son, Jesus Christ. Which leads us, third and last, bank on the promise. Sinners can be encouraged with the promise. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. You see, God's coming. He's graciously visiting sinners. He's throwing open wide his grace. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. True repentance is not merely feeling bad about having done bad things. There's a vital ingredient of the repentance that leads to life, and that is seeing the mercy of God in Christ. That God, in order to be reconciled to sinful people, sent his Son to die as a substitute. That's why he came. Do you know that? The reason he came was to die as a substitute, to receive the penalty that others deserved, and to satisfy the wrath of God and the justice of God. And then to give his own righteousness to cover our sin, so that we may stand before God as perfectly righteous by faith alone. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, dear friend, to return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, God pardons all sorts of sinners, as Gill says, all sorts of sins, original sin and actual sin, backslidings and revoltings, all but the sin against the Holy Ghost. Whosoever will, whosoever will, respond. Respond, dear friend. The gospel reality calls for gospel responsibility. Run home. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And God promises that if you seek me, you will find me. Briefly, a few words to those who have turned to the Lord. Are you done with conversion? Are you done with repentance? No. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent and return to the Lord as often as you stray. Doesn't mean if you stray that you fall out of the infinite favor of God or lose your justification. That's not the case. But you will stray, and therefore you must return. If you stray, do not delay. Do not defer. Do not fail to lay hold of the window of opportunity. When the Holy Spirit begins to work upon your conscience, you've been backsliding. You've been gratifying this particular sin, and God is striving with you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Also, dearly beloved, recognize the opportunities of God's visitations. When he comes near during our seasons of worship, alone as families, in the house of the Lord, seek him. Seek him earnestly in these seasons, laying hold of the means of grace. And do not content yourself with a general repentance. When you turn to the Lord, name your sins and turn from them in particular. But last, those of you who have come home, who have run to the arms of Christ, help others turn. Be a part of Jesus Christ's ongoing mission in this world, which is to gather the elect to him. Speak to them. Pray for them. Invite them to church. Invite them to the place where they'll have the opportunity to hear the good news. How shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? And may he whom God has exalted be glorified. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Amen. Please rise. We ask now that thy blessing may rest upon us, and that the name of Jesus Christ may be honored and glorified. Forgive us, O God, our many backslidings and turnings away, and may we seek the Lord while he may be found. Hear us now, O Lord, to thy glory and praise. Amen. We'll close by singing from Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 10. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 10, to the tune Saint Bartholomew, tune number 95. O Lord, give ear unto my voice when I do cry to thee. Upon me also mercy have, and do thou answer me. Verses 7 to 10. Rise to receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Please be seated. By way of announcements, we'll have the catechism class following at approximately 12:15.